I'm an exchange alumnus.
I'm an exchange alumna.
I'm an exchange alumna.
I'm an exchange alumnus.
I am an exchange alumna.
I'm an exchange alumna.
People, places, and international exchange. Voices of Exchange delivers unforgettable first-person stories from people transformed by international exchange. These exchange alumni share stories of growth, unexpected friendship, and career inspiration from all around the world.
We are the Voices of Exchange.
I think for me, what this means for me is bringing the message that you don't like that these programs, these government exchange programs, aren't for elite. You know, they're not for the top, either super academic or just a certain group of people. Anyone can apply to these programs, right? Within the eligibility standards. But I just want to like make sure that anyone that has ever been told like they're not worthy or they're not smart enough or like they're not meant for those programs that would just feel outcasted, that could feel that they have something to bring to the table. Basically just being able to tell people that they can apply too.
Three women, one goal, and a letter to their younger selves. In the final episode of our first season of Voices of Exchange, a team of Exchange alumni, Pandora White, Vanessa Diaz, and Ashley Brown Greer, join us to talk about international exchange, their Citizen Diplomacy Action Fund project, We Represent, and how they're bringing equity and diversity to exchange programs.
I am Dr. Pandora White, and I am the CEO of We Represent, and I oversee all operations.
I'm Vanessa Diaz. I design all social media and website graphics, as well as work closely with the CEO of We Represent.
I am Ashley Brown Greer. I help solidify relationships and partnerships within We Represent.
What is We Represent? What is our story of beginning? I was at an international alumni event. IIE with Partners of America had started putting on events for alumni to meet each other, to talk about, you know, what's the next steps after you do these exchanges? How do we use this to further our career? So at that meeting, they announced that there was going to be the Citizen Diplomacy Grant to do projects in various fields, including creating communities for alumni and promotion of the program. And so at that meeting, I actually just met three or four other alumni. So it was about 30 to 40 of us there. And they were like, does anybody want to do a project like this? And we're like, okay. So we just took each other's phone number, first couple of days of knowing each other. So the plan originally was to basically go to the schools, go to HBCUs, minority serving institutions, and just have them have an opportunity to hear from someone who looks like them or who've done that experience. What's it like, especially at those smaller universities that might not have a study abroad office? So promotion. And so in 2020, we was gearing up to do it. And I had some really cool plans, like going to Hawaii and reaching out to people. And then COVID happened. All field trips canceled. And we had to sit down and think about what was going to be the future of We Represent. And so at that point, it became a conference. And so I was like, the only thing we can do at this point would be a virtual conference, a virtual setting. And so how did we get that mission and ideal? No one that I knew had ever really went abroad. You might know one or two people who would take a boat down to Mexico because I'm not far from New Orleans and it's a port there. But going to another place, living there, really seeing what it was like to be in someone else's shoes, that wasn't something that you would see. And then the other thing was, if you knew someone who did it, maybe they didn't look like you. Maybe they didn't have a similar background to you. That got me thinking that we should do it, and that's why. and see if we can increase the amount of students from different backgrounds that apply.
We also, our group, a lot of our team members were also doing similar work prior as alumni ambassadors, as co-founders of affinity groups, in which we were trying to reach underrepresented groups anyway, on virtual, like virtually and in person. So it kind of was great that Pandora reached out to us because we were doing similar work. And then now we were able to like hone in. Between everyone, we had like 60 volunteers, panelists, moderators. Yeah, it was really amazing.
Also with our affinity groups, they were also willing to help promote the conference, which really helped gain those other alumni, put us in contact with them, or alumni, and put us in contact with them, as well as, you know, promoting to their base, to students who may be interested in attending the conference. The most rewarding part, or just for the team in general, was we were able to really push the Re-Represent brand and our mission to people, right? And so we were surprised in the beginning when we had so many advisors from these institutions who are like, oh my gosh, we're interested in learning how to really reach our minoritized students on campus. And so that was a little shocker for us. And what I told Pandora was, you know, it's great that these advisors registered and attended this conference, because what they took from that conference is they can go back to their campuses and they can use these tools to help with their outreach on their campus with minoritized students. But now they also have connections with alumni from all four programs that they can call on and say, hey, do you mind speaking with our students? Or do you mind, you know, there's a student who's interested in X, Y, and Z. Can I, you know, put them in contact with you? So I think that was one of the most rewarding. And also that so many people attended the conference. I think that was also really, not saying that we didn't expect anyone to attend, but you know, it's COVID, there's Zoom fatigue. So to have people attend, whether that was via Zoom or via our social media accounts, I think that was really a reward for us.
Being able to have a space where we talk about underrepresented groups, but like multiple underrepresented groups. And not only that, but like recognize that you can be more than one thing. So you could be like a gay Black man who's also disabled abroad, you know, and like being able to talk about those things in like an intersectional way versus like just checking off one box. I think it was rewarding to hear stories about people maybe even traveling to the same place, because my experience in Jordan is very different than a colleague of mine that looks different than me. And so I think having those parallels and having those stories heard side by side are really important. Having the opportunity for people to talk about that candidly and openly, but in a way that was like, I learned a lot and I would go back and here's what I can give you, I think was really refreshing. And I think I'll pat ourselves on the back. I think we did a good job in that aspect. As the person who put out everything you saw having to do with the conference, was like trying to effectively communicate and reach our audience on a virtual platform, which means like building a website that works, that's functional, that tells a story, reaching the panelists that we wanted to, reaching the audience. And to some degree, we definitely reached it because there's so many faculty involved that came out and attended. So for me, a personal goal was like, is our intent aligned with our design, aligned with like the reaching goal? And I think there's always room for improvement, but we did an okay job.
I am Dr. Pandora White. I'm from Fayette, Mississippi. So I'm first gen. I ended up going to Alcorn State University, which is a HBCU. And while there, I ended up applying for the Gilman to Ghana and going to Ghana in the fall of 2012. I got the travel bug. Was like, you know, that first time is the scariest time. So I went on, did a summer internship in India. So I ended up meeting some exchange students, some Fogartys and Fulbrighters, and ended up saying, you know, I think I could do this. So doing my PhD, ended up studying in Taiwan, Fulbright, and Poland. And I came back to the States, graduated with my PhD in biochemistry, got a postdoc of Fogarty to Peru, came back, finished my MPH, and now I'm a visiting assistant professor of chemistry.
I'm Vanessa Diaz. I was a 2016-2017 Fulbright ETA to Jordan. I'm also a Gilman alum, and I traveled to Qatar in 2014. I am first gen Latinx. My family are Colombian immigrants. And so my travel experiences were definitely like, I had traveled before, I had gone to Colombia. My first time, I hadn't really gone anywhere outside of my comfort zone of South America. So I went to Virginia Commonwealth University, and they had a sister campus in Doha, Qatar. And I was able to do a semester abroad there with Gilman, literally the same semester, just in a different place. And so I was kind of enamored with that idea. And the fact that it was in the Middle East, I was super excited because it was a place I had never gone to before. I had no expectations, nothing. I was just like, I'm a sponge. I'm going to soak it in. And I felt there was so much, a lot of ignorance and a lot of, I guess, people didn't really care that I was so excited about the Middle East, at least my peers. And so I wanted to find another way to go back. Then someone recommended me to go and apply for Fulbright. I only got it the second time. I applied to Jordan. And then while I was an ETA, I was able to not only teach, but also like do some pro bono design work. And now I work for the LGBT Community Center in New York City as a digital and design coordinator.
My name is Ashley Brown Greer. My first international experience was I studied Italian opera in Pisa, Italy in 2013. And so that just really opened up my eyes to like being able to travel. And so in 2015, I applied to Fulbright. I actually was at Morgan State University at the time, working on a Master's of Arts in Teaching. And just was like, okay, I think I want to teach abroad. And so I got on the Morgan State website, did some Googling, came across Fulbright and was like, I'm going to apply to Fulbright. And so that's what I did. And honestly, my experience teaching in Malaysia just really changed my life. But just some of the projects that I did with my students, taking them to visit the U.S. Embassy in Kuala Lumpur. We published a really cool Malaysian American poetry recipe book where we collaborated with my former students here in the States, as well as the students in Malaysia. And so we have this really cool book of just their favorite, the poems are about their favorite foods and their favorite recipes. But it just really changed my trajectory. I came back to the States and was like, I'll see you all in the K-12 arena at another time. All of my students, I pray to God that you make it to college, because that's where I will be seeing you all. And so I'm currently at Howard University working on my PhD in higher education with a focus on internationalization at HBCUs, historically Black colleges and universities. And outside of the classroom, I'm all about increasing students and HBCU students' knowledge and awareness about government-funded international exchange programs.
We're all very involved in trying to increase the amount of representation of underrepresented groups in government exchange programs. Ashley Pandora and I met through various venues. Pandora and I were both alumni ambassadors in the 2019 cohort. We were selected to go around, honestly, the U.S. at different universities, speak about our experiences and kind of like have students get inspired to apply through our personal stories. So all of us are alumni ambassadors. Ashley's an alumni ambassador from the 2020 cohort. Yeah, so we all have done very similar work. So I co-founded Fulbright Latinx, an online community on Instagram and Facebook that kind of helps uplift, highlight stories of Latinx Fulbrighters. So they can be seen, they can feel represented. And Ashley founded or co-founded Fulbright HBCU that helps elevate the stories of HBCU alum Fulbrighters. So that's how we know each other.
So when I knew I needed a new team, I reached out to Vanessa and was like, yo, you want to do this? And she was like, okay. So then I had to find at least two or three other people. So I said, I think Ashley might be a good try. We'll see. She's doing so much with her life. So I asked her and she was like, okay, I guess I'll try. And then the other two who aren't here, I actually found Sean. He's a Gilman. And I met him on Facebook and just was like, hey, I'm looking for somebody to help me with this project. Does anybody want to do it? So I posted in one of the Gilman alumni groups. And that's the team.
If you enjoy Voices of Exchange, then the Gilman Scholarships podcast should be your next go-to addition to your playlists. The A. Gilman podcast is released monthly and produced by the team behind the Gilman Scholarship Program, created for current and previous exchange students alike. Listen to alumni of the largest undergraduate scholarship under the U.S. Department of State share their best learned tips and tricks for exchange and how their global perspective affords them a unique outlook on current issues, as well as how their exchange shaped their leadership paths. New episodes release the first weekday of the month, and you can take a listen on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So for me, We Represent is essentially a letter to my younger self. And it is a letter telling me that I can do it. I was in high school and I for real was like, I'm going to get welding school. I'm going to get a welding license. I'm going to go work on the boat and make a lot of money. And that's it. And somebody reached out to me and said, I mean, you should go to college. Give it a try. When I was in high school, and I'm first generation, I don't really know of anybody with advanced degrees. So at that time, I just wanted to do what a lot of people did. I wanted to make money. So I went to college and I picked a random major and said, this sounds about right, because it was the only subject that I liked. So then I'm in college and now I just know, you know, I have to graduate. But I was a very horrible student. I'm talking the worst. And, you know, part of it was my school didn't really prepare me for college. It kind of, but not for the college that I went to. So I get to college and I have to work to pay my tuition. So I had scholarships, I had loans, but my tuition was like almost $40,000. So I'm working and, you know, signing over my paycheck to the school. And I was like, I just want to graduate and be done with it. So I'm on academic probation. I'm about to get kicked out of school. And, you know, at that time, I ended up finding TRIO programs. I transferred schools. I went and became a part of Student Support Services and the McNair Scholars, and I pulled my GPA up. And so at this point, the only goal I got is graduation. And I had heard about study abroad and I saw the price tag and I said, you know, I don't have $10,000, $5,000. I can barely afford to be in school. And that's when they told me about Gilman. And so I applied for Gilman. I go to Ghana and, you know, it was my first time on an airplane. It's my first time seeing a bus, like a city bus. That was, you know, is life-changing. Having the opportunity to tell people this story or share other stories that all are different, but all means that you needed to have someone there, that first contact to get you on that path. And so having the opportunity to do that for students is important. And also for those faculty and staff that want to help students, but don't know how. And so that is what We Represent is to me. What I want to say about mentors is that mentors are important, but sometimes you're going to need more than one mentor, right? So if you have a team of mentors, the support team, it helps.
I came into this like, okay, we can get more outreach and recruitment to our HBCUs. You know, sometimes we have to really build those relationships with people. And so while this year we had some HBCU students and faculty attend the conference. Hopefully next year, you know, we've been around, we have some proof that we've done some work. And so next year, hopefully we can really hone in and get more HBCU students to attend. And also predominantly Black institutions, because a lot of times I didn't think about them in the beginning, but I'm like, they're also mostly or majority community college institutions. And so that would definitely hit more than one of our goals.
I think for me, what this means for me is bringing the message that you don't like that these programs, these government exchange programs aren't for elite, you know, they're not for the top, either super academic or just a certain group of people. Anyone can apply to these programs, right? Within the eligibility standards. But I just want to like make sure that anyone that has ever been told like they're not worthy or they're not smart enough or like they're not meant for those programs, that would just feel outcasted, that could feel that they have something to bring to the table. Basically just being able to tell people that they can apply to.
I went to Talladega College, which is a small private liberal arts HBCU. And so in undergrad, I had no clue about international exchange programs. And so I didn't even apply or know about Fulbright until my master's program. And so I was intentional on when I got to Malaysia, I recognized that there were 100 people in my cohort. Two of us were from HBCUs. And only about 10 of us were Black and or mixed identity with Black. And I was like, oh, we have to change this. So I think it's that knowledge and awareness piece. I can't expect someone to apply for these programs if they don't know about these programs or that they exist.
Did we meet our goals? Was there anything that was surprising? We really only had two big goals: to have at least 10 alumni speak and to have 275 people attend the conference. And so we met both of those goals. And I think what was surprising and what we didn't think about before was the number of faculty members that wanted to learn more for their students. And so now we're thinking bimodally. So when we do outreach to purposely look at things to help advisors and help students. So I think that was the change.
I did have a few people that pushed me for sure. I will say I've always been interested in traveling, but the first time I went abroad as a study abroad with Gilman, I didn't know what Gilman was. So the person in the National Scholarship Office was kind of like leading the way and guiding me. She was fabulous. And she helped me through that essay, and writing's definitely not my strong suit. So there was a lot of writing workshops and stuff, a lot of guiding all the way. And if it hadn't been for those people, probably wouldn't have been pushed as hard.
Mentorship is a really big thing. For me, it started with my family. My grandmother was an educator, but I did have this one professor who she still supports me to this day. She wrote my first my recommendation letter for both of my Fulbright applications. And then when I got to Morgan State, I never thought about doing like a PhD program. But when I was working on my master's, those professors there, we would be in class and they'll be like, when are you all applying for the PhD program? When are you thinking about doing X, Y, and Z? And so pushed me to go further. But also when I told them that I was interested in the Fulbright program, they supported it 100%.
My favorite part of the We Represent conference was the identity panels. We had a bunch, some of them on LGBTQ, being Black, Indigenous, or a person of color, and or a person with disabilities abroad. I learned a lot from those panels and hearing the panelists.
So my favorite part of the We Represent conference was Lenitra Berger's speech. It resonated with me. And especially with in my area of international education. So that was
my favorite part of the conference was the networking sessions. For the networking sessions, we essentially did a speed dating version of networking. So you were matched with someone one-on-one and you had the opportunity to just talk to them for 5 minutes and you can extend it or whatever. So we had two different sessions. We had one for faculty and staff and one for students. And so I told, you know, the team, let's also pop in on some of those sessions so we can talk to people and see, you know, firsthand how they feel.
We'd like to thank Dr. Pandora White, Vanessa Diaz, and Ashley Brown Greer for sharing their stories with us. We'd also like to thank you, our audience, for tuning in today. This is the season one finale of Voices of Exchange. We'll be back soon with more stories featuring our alumni voices of exchange. If you haven't heard our previous episodes, check them out. And don't forget to subscribe to Voices of Exchange, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, be sure to tell your friends. Thank you for coming along for our first season. We hope you have a wonderful summer.